Today is the second Sunday in Advent, and the theme for today is peace. Last week it was hope, this week it is peace. Keep that in mind as I share this with you. Your church staff has been very hard at work trying to help our church grow in our outreach to families in the church and also to people who are not currently a part of our River Road community. As such, we've tried to focus certain church events with an eye toward attracting families and newcomers. With that in mind, one of the things that we are trying to do is to make a change that will occur this year on Christmas Eve. Your pastoral staff received some comments from several persons that our classical, traditional Christmas Eve service, while beautiful and rich, is very late at 11 p.m., and as such, many folks are not able to attend. So we did some research, had some conversations, and found that nearly every church in town is having this conversation. They're trying to accommodate people as best they can. So we're going to try something different this year. And I know you're going to love it, because if there's anything that church folks love, it's change. Or so I've heard. Now this year we're going to have that service a little bit early, at 8 p.m. Perhaps you've seen that in the bulletin or advertised elsewhere in church publications. Now there's something else that I know, and that is that River Road Church is nothing if not opinionated. And I love that. I really do. Because when you seek to live out a thoughtful faith, that means you're a thinking person. And when you're a thinking person, you have opinions about things. And many of you have told me that you love this idea. It will allow you to attend this service for the first time, and that's great. Others of you, including my own daughter, have told me that you don't like this change, and it's not going to work for you, and truly, I'm sorry. But two things are true here, I suppose. One is that, as you know, it's impossible to make everyone happy. Second, and perhaps more importantly, I believe that faithful church ministry today requires experimentation and trying new things. So we're going to try this and see how it goes, and you'll let me know your thoughts on the matter. The only thing I ask is that you remember what I told you at the beginning of my time here, that today's theme is peace. So don't beat me up. On to the sermon. This time of year, in addition to gospel stories about John the Baptist and Mary and Joseph awaiting the Christ child, we read from the prophet Isaiah, and we'll do that every week in Advent. Today's reading from Isaiah, highlights the themes of hope, echoing last week, the hope of a ruler whose reign will be one of peace. Perhaps you've read that rather incredible book by educator Jonathan Kozol entitled Amazing Grace. In this book, Kozol documents the lives of children in the devastated South Bronx neighborhood of New York City. Their lives, I must admit, are rather terrifying when you hear them talk about it, beyond anything I've ever known or frankly could comprehend. For their daily existence is marked by an assault of poverty, guns, drugs, violence. Yet throughout this book, Kozel, and I hope I'm saying his name correctly, he points us to hope. Not because he's some Pollyannish author who sees everything through rose-colored glasses. No, he points us to hope because the children he talks to, they are filled with hope. So listen to this vision of heaven as told to the author by 11-year-old Annabelle. She says this: people who are good go to heaven. They will wear white nightgowns because they're angels. All little children who die when they are young will go to heaven. Dogs and kittens go to animal heaven and you visit them on the weekend. And I love what she says here. In heaven, you don't have to pay for things with money. You pay for the things you need with your smile. Anthony, age 12, has a slightly different take on heaven. He says, God will be there. He will be so happy that we have arrived. People will come into heaven holding hands. It will be bright, not dark and gloomy like it is on earth. All friendly animals will be there, but not the mean ones. All the people from the street will be there. My uncle will be there, and he will be healed. You won't see him buying drugs anymore. No violence will be in heaven. There will be no guns or drugs or even the IRS. How a 12-year-old knows about the IRS, I don't know. He says, you will recognize all of the children who have died when they were little. And listen to this. He says, Jesus will be good to them, and all day he will play with them. If you ask me, Annabelle and Anthony, they sound a whole lot like Isaiah. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Isaiah saw, he saw a fulfillment of the promise. And he saw it coming to us in an individual, a Prince of Peace. We've understood that to be Jesus. But if Jesus ushers in peace, where is it? Where is this peace we've been longing for? The Syrian war, Hong Kong protests, the impeachment proceedings, Iraq, North Korea, ISIS, and y'all know what's coming, the soon-to-be unpeaceable 2020 presidential election. Our hearts are weary. Our hearts are weary from all of the fighting and the injustice. And we long for peace, don't we? Yes, we follow a Christ who tells us to turn the other cheek. But our humanity has programmed us to retaliate, to hit back. It happens because we're divided over differences. So we exchange words. Then those words become heated. Then those words become abusive. And then we become violent. And we must remember, church, that peace, shalom, is not simply the absence of conflict. Peace is not simply not fighting. That's not peace. Remember that passage from Jeremiah 6, they have treated the wounds of my people carelessly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Indeed, peace is not simply not fighting. Peace is when we have wholeness and justice for all God's children. To put it simply, peace comes when things are as they should be. And until we have justice, I think peace will remain elusive. David Breckinridge last week reminded me of a story about an old itinerant preacher, now deceased, that we both admire, the Reverend Will D. Campbell. In the 1950s and 60s, and into the 70s, Campbell had a unique ministry to folks. He would minister to people on all sides of political, religious, and social divides. It didn't matter who you were. He loved you and you were worthy of his time. Campbell made lots of folks mad because he would minister to the African-American community in the South during Jim Crow, and then he would turn right around and visit Ku Klux Klan members in prison. When asked why he did this, he replied, "Because we're all jerks, but God loves us anyway." And by the way, I cleaned up that quote for you. That's also who he was. And on one occasion, a KKK member named Sam Bowers was on trial for ordering the killing of an African-American man named Vernon Dahmers. During the trial, Campbell would spend half the time sitting with Dahmers' family and the other half sitting with Bowers' family. When a reporter asked him why he did this, he replied, "Because I'm a Christian." And again, I cleaned that up for you. It was a bleeping Christian. And if you ask me, we could use a few more bleeping Christians too. And here's what Campbell said, and this was years ago, but it's as true today as it ever has been. He said, "I believe the church's place relative to the red and blue fault line running through American society is standing tall with our feet firmly planted on both sides, with neighbors who are easy to love and those whom we struggle to love." I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, "I got up, I got dressed, I came to church to hear a nice little Advent sermon. I didn't cause the world's sufferings, not responsible for it either. Besides, what do you expect us to do, Daniel? You want us to change the world?" Yes. Yes, church, that's exactly what I'm asking you to do. Isaiah's testimony is that God will bring peace to earth through us, through God's people. Think about it. We follow Jesus Christ, who was crucified upon the cross and responded not with violence, but with forgiveness. We follow Jesus Christ, who told us to love our enemies and turn the other cheek. We follow Jesus Christ, who gave his own life so we could make peace with one another and with God. And if we truly want to follow Christ, we must seek to make peace in our world. I'll be the first to admit, that's a rather tall order. But we must try. I read a little while ago about a woman named Rajia John. She's a teacher in Afghanistan, rural village. She said this in the news article. The terrorists will stop at nothing to keep our girls from being educated. The reporter wrote that Taliban soldiers have poisoned the school's drinking water. They've even thrown acid into the face of the young girls as they're walking to school. Rajia says they are scared to death of a woman getting an education. Because when she gets an education, she will know her rights as a human being. She reopened the school for girls in her village just a couple months ago. And as she did, four armed men came to see Rajia. "Close this school down now," they said. "You can't teach girls. Men are the backbone of Afghanistan." Rajia replied, "Men may be the backbone, but women are the eyesight. And without us, you are blind." The men were dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say. So they walked away. Somehow, Rajia John summoned the courage from deep within herself to stand in the way of peace. Can peace really happen? I don't know. But we have to try. We who worship the Prince of Peace need to work for peace in our relationships, in our nation, and in this world. Peace begins with us. I love what Carol Wade says. She says, when we journey to the heart of God, we become God's peace in this world. Where do we start? Well, I'm not sure I can answer that for everyone. But I'd be willing to bet that you, if you're anything like me, that you have a relationship in your life that could use some work. Perhaps you have a relationship that could use some mending. Perhaps there's someone that you need to forgive. Perhaps there's someone's forgiveness that you need to receive. Maybe we could start there. Because, friends, as we are awaiting the birth of the Christ child, we do so by seeking to make our homes, our church, and this world a place where Christ will feel welcome. I think we do that by seeking to make as much peace as is possible within our relationships, within our homes. And I believe that will spread to this world. It won't instantly bring about world peace. I'm hopeful, but I'm not naive. But for the love of God, it's a start. And this start, this seeking to make peace among ourselves, I think that's the best way we prepare for Christmas. Happy Advent, church. Amen.